Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 8 of Podding on the Ritz. This is one half of your Podding on the Ritz team here, Hadley Fraser, without the other half, Ross Noble, who I imagine is probably sat in a deck chair outside his house in Melbourne, in Australia, in the blazing sun. I don't see Ross sitting in anything more fancy than a deck chair, actually. I think it's quite a sort of workaday look for Ross when he's sunbathing. Potentially a sort of handkerchief on the head, but I don't know quite how he'd fit all the hair in. Maybe he's taken a wig cap with him from Young Frankenstein, a memento, if you will. But anyway, more theatrical insights of that nature coming up for you today. In fact, talking of sort of workaday Ross Noble, he talks about soiling himself, or in fact nearly soiling himself on stage. So perhaps just have a think about whether you want to listen to this over breakfast. And the Seat of Death makes a bit of an appearance. That's in the auditorium, not anywhere else. We're very happy to have an interview this week with Mr. Nick Greenshields, who plays the monster here in Young Frankenstein. And the musical of the week is the one, the only, Damn Yankees. So enjoy the show.
The pair that we die for is Frankenstein and Igor. For the first time, together again.
In the dressing room, backstage. See, look at me doing the housekeeping.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
If I let the team down.
the Garrick Theatre. Backstage at Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein, we're about 150 shows in.
Yeah.
Ross, you've only got how many shows left?
Got 3 weeks left. We've got, what is it now? So we've got tonight's show, two tomorrow, and then three lots of eight.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
20-odd.
20-something.
How are you feeling sort of this far out from finishing? Do you feel like you're ready for a break? Are you tired? Because to give you your due, you haven't had a show off.
That's true.
You and Dame true. Leslie.
Dame Leslie and I.
Fair dues, because you are the oldest people in the cast as well.
Patrick's close.
I suppose so, but only comes on for a couple of bits.
He's barely in it. If you're listening, Patrick.
We love you.
We're joking. I think currently, has Harriet had a day off yet?
Good point, yeah. So
I think me, Leslie and Harriet and Patrick. I think the four of
that's
us.
That's quite impressive. 150 shows in and you guys haven't had a show off.
Not a show off.
You probably should have done.
I nearly had part of a show off.
How did you?
Yeah.
What happened?
I didn't tell you on the night because it was too embarrassing.
What I was happened? Doing did you, you didn't soil yourself?
Not far off.
What do you mean?
Well, because I sort of... I didn't tell anyone. I was during Together Again.
I'm staggered.
During Together Again. I'm trying to eat healthily. I'm trying to eat vegetables and that, right? So I sort of been eating a lot of vegetables. And then we're doing Together Again. And it's quite a lot of...
jigging around.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of jigging.
And you're in the scuttling position as well.
Well, exactly. I sort of suspend the scuttling.
Yeah.
And then I do the full...
full work.
And I'm dancing about and there's a bit where I sort of kick me leg right up.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll tell you when it was. It was when I did... You know when I do that... join in a chorus, it's fun. And I do like a ridiculous...
Yeah, sort of like a leapy front sort of, legs.
Yeah, it's like a weird... Yeah, which tonight, by the way, coming up with three, I'm going to sort of do more of a Cossack tonight.
You've already predetermined what your leap's going to be.
I'm going to do more of a Cossack, yeah.
I look forward to that.
But I sort of do like this weird kind of like scissor jump in the air, like over-enthusiastic to allow you to sort of... And as I did that...
Yeah...
like a little bit of, I released a bit of gas.
Oh, right.
I thought, it's a little bit of a...
Tommy Squeaker.
Little bit of a pop-em happening there.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's unusual. It's because scissor kicking. And then it was a little more like,
fear.
Hang on, I did. Yeah. And then there was just a little... Oh. And like, I thought, oh God, no. And I literally, there was a moment where I went, oh my God, I have literally soiled myself on stage. And the thing about that,
let yourself down.
The thing about that routine is, it's,
oh, you can't, you, I mean, you, there's no let up.
There's no squeezing the buttocks and hoping for the best.
You can't just sort of take it easy for the rest of the song.
Exactly. You are fully committed. And I literally went, oh,
there's a lot of legwork, isn't there?
Luckily, and I don't mean to be vulgar or anything, but
no,
you know when you get just, how should I put it, bubbling arse foam? Do you know what I mean? It's more of a sort of...
I wasn't expecting to kick off the podcast like this.
I wasn't going to tell anyone, but I think there was...
Would you say that's your lowest moment?
Yeah.
In the run?
As a song and dance man. I had all these...
Sure, it's happened to all of them, all the great song and dance men.
You know what was the first thought that went through my head?
What?
I thought, oh God, if I've soiled myself here...
Yeah.
Because as an adult, I haven't... Do you know what I mean? It's not something I do...
It's not a normal occurrence, is it?
Usually. You know, but I knew that, like, I was feeling...
I mean, mind you, you're late 50s.
I am, something like that.
You're getting close to that point where you shouldn't be trusting a fart.
Early 60s.
Yeah.
I think I am now. What is wrong with me? I'm 42.
And I look at you.
But I literally... Like, it was one of those things where I was feeling unwell in the guts. I was sort of a bit... And I was
a bit wobbly.
I thought, I'm not going off here. But no. I thought, no, I'm fine. My first thought was for the wardrobe people.
That's very, very altruistic of you.
Because I'm just thinking, well, I've got short pants that I wear.
Yeah.
Short pants.
That's something we should maybe just say, yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
people might not realize.
You do get issued with your own particular show pants, don't you?
I mean, I bought mine.
Do you know, sometimes there's a right ruckus if you're doing a production and you're not issued with show pants.
Really?
People go mental.
Really?
Yeah.
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 I'll be honest with you, though. You know what I do?
What? Right? You take them home?
No, because I bought my own show pants and I said, use these.
Of course
ones.
You did. What were they made of? Where are they from? Come on. Some sort of John Galliano show pants,
not like...
Yoji Yamamoto.
No.
What were they?
They were from the popular store Lululemon. So, but that shop...
Yeah.
Because I went there... you can see them hanging up there in the corner.
Can I just have a look at them? Go and get the show pants.
No, these aren't the show pants.
Technical material.
So, have we never discussed the...
Rosh is now showing me his show undershirt, your T-shirt.
Right, this is the T-shirt that I wear.
Yeah.
Now, the original one wasn't breathable enough, right? See that? That's got Velcro stitched onto it for the...
For the hump.
For the hump, yeah. Right? But this is the brand, the Lululemon brand. Feel that.
What about it?
What do you mean, what about it?
What am I trying to...
Feel how light and breathable that material is.
It feels like a day-to-day T-shirt to me, Ross.
Oh, come on.
No wonder you're hot the whole time.
No, that's...
What do you mean?
Feel how, like...
It's got a natural wicking facility.
It's super light. It's gossamer.
It's not gossamer. That's like chainmail. That's like...
Come on.
That's like... What's his name? Bilbo Baggins, his chainmail that he wears under his jerkin.
That is like the wings of a bee.
That's not.
It is, honestly.
That's a heavy T-shirt.
That's not a heavy T-shirt.
That's at least a couple of tog.
Feeling in your fingertips. You've been playing your jazz guitar for so long, you've lost all the nerve endings in your fingers.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. You can't accurately assess the tog of a... So that there, right, is incredibly light. And it's the lightest material. And I don't know what they put in it, but... If you go running in one of those or dancing, you know, if you're a song and dance man, most importantly, doesn't chaff your nipples.
Oh, now that is a serious situation.
That material, and I think that's what...
Have you avoided nipple chafing?
There hasn't been. Honestly, sometimes my nipples in a regular T-shirt...
Is this as if you're doing just a run or something?
Sporting activity. Yeah. Oh, literally... I could suckle a baby vampire.
Sweet Jesus.
Like, honestly, just lactating pure blood. And then, but in that,
yeah.
Honestly, just not even forget about. I could go for a jog and then swim through piranhas.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't even get a sniff of a bit of nipple blood.
Do you think so? You'd slice through the piranhas?
Just straight through. Mm. So that material is the material that of the pants.
Yeah.
I might even have a pair on. I wear them
often. I don't want to see them
I'm
now.
Not show you. Look, that's... I've got
you might have soiled yourself again.
Look.
What is that? Oh, it is Lululemon, yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to make you touch them, but see the...
They are quite sheer.
Oh, they're comfy. Oh, just... Honestly. So I bought it, but I thought, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to treat myself. They're not cheap.
I don't think they are. Lululemon is on the more expensive side.
And I thought, you know what? I'm going to be in these pants, sometimes 2 shows a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought them, right? Blue. Pair of blue ones.
Yeah.
They're my show pants. Right. So, but this is what I was going to say. My socks, my show socks, because I'm wearing the boots.
Where did you get them from?
Nobody's. I had them made by...
some sports scientist in Oregon.
No, what I do for my show socks, right, and this is a little tip for anyone thinking of entering the world of, you know... West End musicals, song and dance. Yeah. What I do, 2 pairs of socks, just regular socks, right? But here's what I do.
Do you wear 2 pairs of socks?
No, wait. No, I have 2 pairs of socks, yeah. Right? So what I do is I get up in the morning, right? And I put my socks on and I wear them up until showtime.
Yeah.
Right? Then, get this, there's a clean pair of socks with my show pants ready for me in the dressing room.
Show socks, you could call them.
Yeah, but watch this, right? This is how you beat the system, right? This is how I stay one step ahead. I don't put them on for the show, do I?
Do you keep your day socks on?
I keep my day socks on for the show.
Yeah.
Finish the show. Oh, what's that lovely fresh pair of clean socks?
Do your day socks then go in the show laundry?
Yeah.
You're asking a lot of the wardrobe department to clean your filthy socks.
And then those socks get washed.
Mm.
I've only got a short walk back to the flat. I try not to sweat too much in those socks.
Yeah.
Take them off as soon as I get back to the flat. Fold them up, ready for the morning.
I think it's a false economy.
Come on.
Because you're basically just, you could do operate the same system, but, you know, you just pick up your day socks at the end of the show. That's what I do. Because in the morning, you're wearing socks that you've worn the evening before.
Only for 20 minutes.
That's unsatisfying.
No.
I think as soon as the only sock you want to put on in the morning is an unworn sock.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, but then, so then you're having to wash, you have to go home and you have to wash your socks.
I limit myself to 1 personal pair of socks a day.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
So at the end of a week, you've got 7 pairs of socks to wash.
Yeah.
How many pairs am I washing? 0, my friend. 0.
Well, because you only wear socks that are then laundered here at work.
Yeah. You see,
the rich get richer.
No, but that's the thing is, they have no way of knowing. They have no way of knowing.
They know.
They don't know.
They buy the socks and they would look at both of them and be able to compare, unless you buy the same brand.
That's what I did.
How do you know?
Because I bought the socks.
So you asked them, so then they would know.
No, I bought 2 pairs of socks identical. And they know that they're mine because, get this, right, I'm ahead of the system again. If you go to Next, buy a pack of socks at Next, right, what have the Next socks got on them? Embroidered ends. If your name's Noble, boom, you've saved on monogram.
You've got too much time on your hands.
So now people go, oh, look at him with these monogram socks. No, it stands for Next. I've saved on the monogramming and I've saved... And I'm making a saving on the washing.
Yeah.
That's good for the environment.
Okay. I could go and buy some House of Fraser socks. HF.
Of course.
Why didn't I think of
Unbelievable.
That?
Unbelievable.
Or would they be HOF? I'd have to change my middle name.
To Oscar.
Oswald.
Oswald. There you go. Why? No, I think just HF.
Yeah.
Come on.
Lesson learned.
Yeah. So the point that I'm making was, is I was worried that that I would hand back my show pants and they would essentially be full of dirt.
Yeah. Like a baby.
I thought, oh, God.
I can't do that.
Oh, God. So it was quite a nervous... Because there was definitely... I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
There was definitely some form of excretion.
Oh, dear God.
It was the most nervous time I've ever had in my entire life.
I might have to have a lie down.
But this is the insight into the world of music.
I suppose so, people yeah. I think it's too much of an insight, though.
You know that seat that I called the seat of death?
You've never, ever used that term in front of me before.
Really?
No.
I'm sure I have.
No. Oh. You can't suddenly make something up.
The seat of death. There's one seat in the theatre which, for some reason, when we get somebody who's a dick, they seem to be in the seat of death. Now, I don't know if that's got anything to do with the ghosts or anything.
Could be, but couldn't it?
This week, I don't know whether you've heard the full story. Were you aware of the... Well, there was two things. In the seat of death, in the aforementioned Together Again, quite a physical dance for both of us.
It's quite full on, yeah.
Yeah, at one point, I don't know if you noticed... I was dancing around you. You started dancing around me. We were doing legs all over the place. Not on that occasion. No soiling had occurred.
Good.
Looked down. Fella texting. Just looking at his phone. And I thought, have you got any idea? Like, I think it's safe to say we love what we do. We love the show. It's great fun. But, you know, and there's no heavy lifting involved. You know, we're not...
From an audience point of view?
No, from our point of view...
It's enough.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, we're not working in a factory.
Sure, I see what you mean.
But we go... There's no holding back. We do. Let's face it, what we do on stage there is probably beyond what a doctor would medically advise both of us to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Us in particular.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's... I come from a comedy background. You come from a musical background.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say that neither of us came up through the dance route.
That's fair to say.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That is a skill that both of us have
sort of acquired.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think when we are giving it the full beans, and somebody isn't even looking, it just felt like, aside from the amount of shows we've done, he go, mate, like, we spent like six weeks.
Did you get the impression that he was there perhaps with a partner or a loved one who was more into it?
Quite possibly. Or he worked for the emergency services and I like to think it was an RNLI.
Oh.
Crew member.
Yeah.
And he went, shit, there's a trawler that's gone missing. And
I better get the...
Oh, should I? Yeah. You know what? I'm going to enjoy the rest of this.
That's a nice way of thinking about it.
You know.
Yeah.
But I was very close to putting my foot through his teeth. So just, you know, on the one hand, that's a nice way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
But, so he was a wrong'un. And then there was a rumpus with another fella.
Oh.
Do you know about
this?
Like, they told him to stop.
He was having the chats. He'd had a couple of glasses or something, I think.
He didn't get on stage as the fella did the other week, but they went up to him and said, excuse me, you're distracting the other patrons. Would you mind not doing that?
Yeah.
To which he told them to F off.
Yeah.
Now, that takes a bit of...
Really does, doesn't it?
Imagine that in the theatre. Excuse me, sir, could you stop doing that? Oh, do one.
Yeah.
I mean...
That takes some balls, doesn't it?
So there's been... So I think we should have a new feature on the show.
What's that? Seat of Death.
Bad Behaviour Corner.
Oh, yeah. The Naughty Step.
The Naughty Step. Perfect. Yes. We're joined in the dressing room by Mr. Nick Greenshields, who is the monster in the show.
Hello.
Hello, mate.
Hi.
If I could describe what I'm looking at the moment, it's...
Monster casual.
It's monster casual, yeah. It's like leisure monster. Would you describe it as that, or...
Yeah, it's... I don't know. It's kind of a bit hip, a bit Shoreditch, a little bit.
Yeah. Quite sort of dressed down zen monster.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Nick, you can't, or you don't choose to change out of your monster makeup and prosthetics in between. We should say we're in between shows now.
We're in between shows now. I'd love to.
Yeah.
I'm just not allowed.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. Also, so the turnaround is too short.
Oh, I thought you were like in seeing me.
No, God, no. Oh. I'd love to go out and have a stroll around the shops.
You
and
could do.
Maybe at Halloween.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. But they're going to try and let me have a few day release moments over the next few weeks when the matinee goes back to being 2:30.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Extra half an hour.
Yeah.
To try and get me ready again for the evening show.
What's most uncomfortable about keeping it all on?
Just because, I suppose, sweated a bit, so underneath the stocking cap and the board cap is a sea of sweat, which can't get released.
Ross gets one question, I think, all the time at stage door, which is, do you get backache?
Yeah, oh, how's your back? Oh, you must be in a lot of pain.
What's the one question you get more than any other?
Are those your real legs?
No?
Yeah. So one woman thought I was kind of like, I know, a state-of-the-art animatronic kind of...
Well, I have to say, my mum came with a group of her friends, and one of them said, how did they do the monster?
There you go.
Because we should just say, how tall are you?
I'm 6'7", in real life.
Yes.
And then with the show shoes, I'm about 7 foot.
Right.
And then obviously with the padding and everything, it makes me look quite large, I suppose.
Yeah. And so for anyone who hasn't seen the show, you're also an incredible dancer.
I wouldn't say incredible.
I
can move. But
come on.
The funny thing is that, you know, I think that's what kind of catches the audience out, is that they can't quite grasp how someone so tall and big can actually move. So they either think I'm probably like a hologram, or that, as one woman asked me at stage door, were they my real legs? And someone actually asked our dance captain, Kelly, the same question on a different day. But I think I do qualify as a giant, because when I was in another show, no one owned up to it, but someone obviously signed me up to like the British UK Caravanning Society for Giants, which I got.
I got
loads of leaflets and things come to stage door every so often, probably like every 3 months. And there was all pictures of people over the height of, I suppose, 6'5", sitting around campfires and things. And I was on this mailing list, so.
Would it strike me as a pastime that, you know, caravans are quite small.
But I also love the fact that the woman that said, "Are they your real legs?" She said that to you at stage door, when presumably you were using your real legs.
So, well, this is the thing, and then when I asked her, I said, "Well, yes." She kind of just shrugged and went off, and that was it. She just obviously waited to ask.
That was the one thing she wanted to know.
Yeah,
she'd seen this show with everything going on.
She just wanted to know if they were my real legs.
Wow. Nick, we've had Leslie and Summer on the podcast before, and we've asked them a little bit about how they got into the business and that. Like, what was it like? Leslie was doing competition, like...
Timpani drums.
She did timpani drums.
She was Northampton's Queen of Percussion.
At 7 years old or something.
Yeah.
She must have had some, like, miniature timpani.
Yeah.
She's on the small side, isn't she? Anyway.
I mean, that's one of the... I have to say, that is one of the true joys of this for me, is at warm-up, when you and Leslie stand together, because she is quite small.
My hip comes up to her kind of nose, so she is the length of my leg.
Are they your real leg? How did you get this sort of into it all then?
I don't know, really. I was in a little school play, and someone's mum was an agent. I was only at junior school.
Nepotism, that's how it works.
And she just said to my mum and dad, oh, he should go to, you know, some drama classes. And I went to that, and I did a lot of Andram.
Yeah.
And then I was working on a building site, and I thought, oh, I'd like to try and go to a drama school.
Hang on a second. You were working on a building site. What were you doing?
Not very much, because I didn't particularly like it. So I just used to make the teas, and they called me Shakespeare. Oi, Shakespeare! I like getting my hands dirty, so there was a joke. Every time I did anything that was kind of manual work, I then sort of, you know, go off for 10 minutes and wash my hands and come back. Cindy and they were like, just make the teas and just
It really around. Wasn't for you then?
No.
You didn't sort of spot one or other of the disciplines and go, you know what, I could do that? Or...
Now I wish I had, but no, I had all the full gear, I had a hard hat and...
Still to get no idea though, by the
way. Yeah, no idea.
But especially as I'm guessing, is that you were significantly larger than everybody else there.
Yeah, but at the time I was like, I was 18, so I was very... I was probably about 6'1" or 2",
right.
But I was really skinny, so I kind of looked like a lollipop.
And the Shakespeare thing, did they find out that you'd been in shows?
Yeah, someone had told them that I was doing this, so they often, like, you know, as blokes do, go and get up the ladder, recite something to us.
Yeah.
And often, like, they'd throw stuff at me or
think
it was funny because I was the youngest.
I used to work in a distribution warehouse for a supermarket when I was 19 or 20. And no one talked to me because I was obviously so different and so odd because I did the stage things. So I feel you. I didn't even get called Shakespeare. I was just a non. I didn't exist.
But there was one day that because we did chemical cleaning, where you flush out like sort of pipes and, you know, in buildings that are either new or old with acid. And all I had to do, he said, all you got to do is sit and watch this pump acid into this drain. So all you got to do, don't take your eyes off it, just sit there and watch it all day. So that was obviously a recipe for disaster. So the pump, I was reading or doing something, and suddenly I looked around, it was like a sea of water in this basement. So I was like, oh God, what am I going to do? I was getting a broom, I was trying to push it down the drain.
Was it acid?
Yeah, but then I was worried that suddenly this acid, I don't know, I just panicked. I got some of the acid, which was in a plastic drum, and poured it into the drain, and then it caused like this huge explosion. And I couldn't see where I was in the room, and so I was trying to panic to get out. It was like a science test, you know, like just like a pyro on stage. Just suddenly there was all this smoke, and I panicked, and then they all came down, and the alarms went off, and all you could see was there was handprints all over the wall where I just frantically tried to, like a cat, get out of the room. And then that's when I sort of decided that I needed to probably go and do something else.
Right. And then, what happened next?
Then I went to audition for a college that I ended up going to.
Yeah.
And she said to me at the time...
Don't do any acid.
She said to me, what are you doing? I said, I work on a building site. She was like, no, you don't. That's ridiculous. I said, no, I do. I've got my hard hat in my bag. And she said, well, let's try and see if we can save you from the building site. Not that I needed to be saved, but it was quite a nice thing.
Sounded like everybody else did.
So we just explained, dear Leslie Johnson has just wandered into the room in a red, fluffy dressing gown.
Yeah.
Taking the large piece of cake. Taking the cake and left.
Yeah. Cake thief.
Yeah. She's good though.
That was remarkable. I didn't even know.
She does it all the time. She just floats in here.
Does she?
Have we talked about this? The fact that I've asked, I know this might seem a bit morbid, but I've asked Leslie if she wouldn't mind haunting this theatre.
Yeah.
What did she say?
I don't think she fully... I mean, I think...
She didn't really comprehend.
No. I mean, God willing, it won't be for a long time. But, you know, I'm just saying, at some point...
Yeah.
You know...
In the future.
She's in her 70s. So, you know, you'd think within the next 40 years...
Would she haunt it as herself or as one of her... many roles or characters that she played. Like,
I want her as herself. Yeah.
So she won't be like Dorian walking around in leopard skin.
Well, like touching up young lads in the dressing room. I think there's been enough of that in the theatre in the past year.
Are you doing anything with your popcorn maker or slush puppy? Is that the same?
Oh, yeah, I'm leaving them. Yeah.
That's really kind.
You've got your eyes on them.
No, I just wondered, because obviously I thought it's quite a lot to take on in cabin.
I'm going to leave... The only thing I'm going to leave the massage chair.
It's probably worth saying to the listenership at the moment that Ross's room at points during the run has looked like an
innovations catalogue warehouse.
Like the gift shop at the Science Museum.
Yeah, very
actually, not the Science Museum.
No,
like
no. You know what it looks like? It looks like the loading dock at QVC.
That's true. What have we got in it? We've got a slush puppy machine, desktop air football.
Table football.
Table football. Candy floss maker. Popcorn maker.
Dyson air blade. Not air blade. Yeah. Dyson.
You've got a, what do you call that there?
A massage. That's a beanbag with a massage chair on top of it.
Yeah.
Ice machine.
Yeah.
What else have we got? We've got slush book, chocolate fountain, popcorn.
Sounds like Generation Game, doesn't it?
That's a bit, yeah, doesn't it?
Now, do you want to take those prizes or do you want to gamble?
Nick, buddy, thank you very much.
Thank you. Before I go, is there any of those snow globes?
Yes, of course.
Have you opened one yet?
No.
Oh, come on.
I eyed it up. I saw it in Leslie's room about 2-3 weeks ago, and I thought, oh, that's a nice thing. And then I heard that Dino's got one, and I was thought I'd be cheeky enough to sort of say, no, I have one.
We've got a few left, I think.
We've still got a box that was having upstairs.
Yeah.
You can't get shifted from there.
The one thing we would ask you, though, is to open it in...
Open it on air.
Is that all right?
You might need something
What do you think of the box?
Kenneth Branagh Theatre Company commemorative snow globe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually written on the...
Do you need to...
Thank you.
No.
Pop goes all easy.
And not only is it a snow globe, but it's also Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
Ooh. Christ, is that...
Oh, my Lord.
I ain't messing about. Yeah.
We should point out as well, we should tweet that picture of... the guys who are producing this podcast have a shelf of awards, and when we were in the office the other day, they have a Kenneth Branagh snow globe, private place next to an Emmy. So what do you think?
Yeah, talk
about it. It's bigger than I thought.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
do you think that would you pay more for it then as a consequence? Do you think of its size? Well, just have a look at the aesthetics first, I suppose. First impressions.
It's very very true to the design of the theatre. It's kind of what it's meant to look like, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes you
might architecturally sound.
And depending on the great, you know, they're cheap. They don't really look like...
Do you think Kenneth has captured... if you didn't know that was the Garrick...
Do you think it was Kenneth himself?
Yes, of course. He sculpted it himself in his tiny... theatre.
That's very nice. Very nice. Although,
here we go.
Do we have that outside? That kind of
what the pitch?
The
it's a taxi.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, with a taxi. Yeah.
The palm tree.
No. No,
the super moon.
What do you call it?
Oh, the awning thing.
Yeah.
Not the awning. That's right.
Yeah. There is. Yeah.
Is it
like a what do you call it?
is it there?
Yeah. I'm probably
marquee. It's a marquee, isn't it?
All right.
A marquee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you never seen outside the theatre?
There is one. Yeah.
That's what all the 5-star reviews hang off.
I think that's very nice, though.
What are you going to do with it?
My daughter will probably like it.
Okay.
Because she's into that kind of thing of picking things up and, you know, throwing them around.
Yeah.
The
content inside could be acidic.
Well, I'll be careful.
Yeah,
I only have one other snow globe. I bought it when I went to New York, and it plays, what's that, Frank Sinatra?
New York?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Bridge.
Yeah, Shakespeare.
It's Musical of the Week.
Musical of the week, Ross. I was thinking about, you showed me the beginning of that ITV show, All Star Musicals, fronted by Andrew the Fred Flintoff.
Freddie Flintoff, yes.
And I was thinking...
What were you thinking?
Well, do you know what? I'm going to be diplomatic here and say it's unexpected, perhaps, to have predicted that he'd have wound up in a musical, Fat Friends, on tour.
Yep.
Don't think he does every performance.
No, I think it's a job share situation.
It's a job share situation. I'm all for people trying to stretch themselves and learning another skill.
Yes.
Fair dues, you know. And you know, let's be honest, there have always been famous names put into entertainment
shows.
Ross, this is disconnected from you, my friend. No, I'm saying historically that's always been the case. I think the sort of hoo-ha about... names coming into musicals is overstated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's always been, right, we need to attach a name. Go back through the years and there's always been, you know.
Yeah.
I'm struggling to think of another cricketer, though, who was wound up in a musical. Yeah.
Didn't Geoffrey Boycott do Chess?
He may well have done. Yeah, Dennis Compton did Grease. Anyway, so I was thinking, where else have sporting stars appeared in a musical?
Oh, fantastic.
That's, and I couldn't, there wasn't many out there, but in the film of Damn Yankees, the musical, quite a few baseball players appear.
Right.
Including, hang on a second, I don't think it was Babe Ruth. Who was it? Hold on, hold your horses.
I know, certainly, all I
Mickey
know...
Mickey Mantle.
Oh, yeah.
Yogi Berra. Bill, of course, Yogi Berra, who bequeathed his name to Yogi Bear.
Yeah.
Bill Scowron, not sure about him, and other New York Yankees baseball players, plus Art Passarella, the famous umpire.
Wow.
So if you go...
You don't get many famous umpires.
You don't, do you?
Yeah.
Well, Dickie Bird, I suppose, in cricket.
Yeah.
And who was the...
He, of course, went on to be in Aspects of Love at the Victoria Theatre Halifax.
Yeah. Anyway, so I thought maybe we'd look at Damn Yankees.
Lovely. I know nothing of Damn Yankees. I do know that a few years ago, Jerry Lewis did it at the Vaudeville.
Could have been. Yes. Well, it's basically a sort of, it's Faust, basically.
Right.
So, you know.
I do like it. I do like anything that involves a pact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's this this fella, sort of long-suffering fan of his baseball team, which is the Washington Senators.
Right.
He's called Joe Boyd. He's not really going anywhere in his life.
Right.
His wife, Meg, just grumbles about him watching the baseball the whole time. And he sits up late one night grumbling about how if the Senators had a long ball hitter, if they had someone who could hit a home run, they'd beat those damn Yankees. Hence the name.
I see, right.
Suddenly, boom, out appears the smooth talking
Gary Wilmot.
No, mind you, he'd be a good shout for if it came back. The smooth talking Mr. Applegate, basically the devil.
Right.
He appears and offers Joe the chance to become Joe Hardy. The young slugger that the Senators need to save their...
My first question...
Yeah.
Why does the devil, Lucifer...
If you will.
If you want. The Dark Lord of the Underworld.
Yeah.
Why does he feel that when offering somebody this Faustian pact...
Yeah.
Why does he feel the name change is in order?
Maybe if he turned up calling himself Lucifer, someone would...
No. Applegate.
Why would he pick Applegate in particular?
So he's gone to Applegate and he said...
No, he's called Mr. Applegate.
Right, hang on. So who's... What's the name of the...
Joe Boyd is the name of our everyman.
Right.
Yeah.
And he said, you can be the hitter.
Yeah.
Called...
Joe Hardy.
Why is he changing his name?
I don't know.
Like...
Well, you see
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've got confused.
No, I think it does become clear why he'd have to change his name.
So you say, woof, there's the devil. I've appeared like that. Woof, Adley, if now I offer you this pact, if you give me your soul, you can...
Can I be Sir Oswald Whippersnipper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no. You can just... have loads of money just to listen to jazz all the time.
Oh, that'd be good.
But you must be called Sir Oswald Whippersnip. You go, well, why am I changing my name?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
See what I'm saying?
I think it's by the by, though. I think you'd go, fine, if that's part of the deal.
Yeah, but why is the devil doing his like deed pool situation? Anyway.
Don't know.
Yeah, go on. Let's carry on then.
He accepts.
Right.
So he's signed up. He's gone, I don't care about
the name. His name or the other name?
Good question.
Exactly.
He hasn't practiced the new signature yet, so I'm guessing he'd sign it as Joe Boyd.
I think he could. That's how you get around it. Ah, that's probably going to come back later. The devil goes, I've got a contract. He goes, it's not my name.
Could be.
Yeah.
Let's find out.
One. I think this was all on Rip Off Britain.
Was it?
Yeah.
Suddenly there's... All right, yeah, we've had that bit. Yeah. Right. So Joe Boyd, his business sense makes him insist on an escape clause. The Senators' last game of the season is on September the 25th. Remember that?
Right.
September the 25th.
Yeah.
And if he plays in it, he has to stay as Joe Hardy forever. If not, he has until 9 o'clock the night before, the 24th, to walk away from the deal and return to his normal life.
Oh, all right. Oh, I see. Right, right. Okay, that makes sense.
So, we'll go to the ballpark. The hapless Senators are there. They're not doing very well. Joe Hardy is suddenly discovered and joins the team. I think maybe he... I don't know.
Suddenly discovered?
I don't know, yeah. I don't know how that works.
That's quite a fast turnaround.
It is, isn't it?
But in theatrical time, though. Oh, no, no. He's
but how would you prove yourself?
On the night.
Yeah. I mean, that would be like someone turning up to, you know, turning up to our show and going, I'm very good.
Yeah.
Can I have a go tonight? And us going, yeah.
I'll be honest, though. If you were at the stage door and somebody literally in full costume did the number.
Have we had anyone turn up in full costume?
Yeah, do you not remember? We had the guy dressed as the monster.
Oh, yeah.
He turned up as the monster.
Joe Hardy. we didn't give him a go.
Do you not remember? A guy turned up dressed as the monster and sat there through the whole show, never laughed once.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, yeah. And I said at the time, I had this feeling that rather than it being some bloke who's like dressed up and going, oh, I love young Frankenstein, I'm going as a monster. It was a fella who looked like the monster who was going, well, this is just mocking me and my family.
This is insulting.
This is just...
Or maybe he thought that we would pluck him out of the audience and go, you're on.
Yes.
So we sat there going, they didn't get me up.
It was very much like, you know, like when people go to football matches wearing the strip.
The full kit.
Yeah, it sort of felt a bit like that.
Right.
But can I just quickly, one thing we haven't mentioned is last night the stage was repainted.
Oh, it's lovely.
Re-lacquered.
Lovely job.
But I went out there and literally could not concentrate.
Yeah, because the stage had been painted.
Just like, what?
It was like doing it in another theatre, wasn't
weird,
it?
Weird, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway, go on.
Anyway, so the team start doing well because Joe Hardy's brilliant. Gloria, who's a reporter, praises him. She comes back later. But he misses his wife.
Oh.
So he's become Joe Hardy,
but
he misses his... Again, this is a bit thematic.
Go on.
He moves into her house as a boarder in his personality, as in his persona as Joe Hardy.
Oh, I see, right.
Yeah.
A bit like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Exactly. Right. They begin to bond... fearful of losing his deal, Applegate comes back, but with his minion, who's called Lola.
And hang on.
Yeah.
Who was a showgirl.
No.
Feathers in her hair.
Whatever Lola...
cut down to there.
Yeah.
At the culture.
It's all full circle.
Yes.
Anyway, she's the best home wrecker on his staff. Skills for the job.
It's because, any good at home wrecking? Yeah, I'm very good. I've broken up several marriages. And how many marriages? Just the three. Julie, how many marriages have you broken up? Oh, just the two. Just the two. If I give you this job, you will be the best home wrecker
on
the staff.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah,
great.
I've worked very hard, yeah.
Anyway, she promises to deliver, and Applegate introduces her as a sultry South American dancer named Senorita Lolita Banana. he's obsessed with changing people's names.
Yeah.
I just realised that.
I mean, it's straight away you think, hang on, what's the... But then he's got, you know, El Diablo.
Suppose he's got quite a few. Likes that.
You know,
it's all his different names.
Yeah, different names.
Anyway, she tries to seduce him with a song you might have heard of called Whatever Lola Wants. Do you know that song?
Never
heard. Oh, you need to listen to jazz.
Never heard of it.
And she tries to seduce Joe, but he resists. He's still in love with Meg. Yeah. Brilliant. So anyway, so... Applegate's really annoyed by this, and he releases some false information about Joe's true identity, which is his sort of third identity, I suppose.
Right, yes.
Being Shifty McCoy.
Shifty McCoy.
It's all about names, isn't it?
But that's...
The escaped criminal and con artist.
I think he was one of the family members You know the people that make the crisps?
Oh, he was the one that McCoy's. got cut out.
Yeah, yeah. He's the black sheep.
Don't buy Shifty in.
He was putting too much, he wasn't putting enough crisps in the bags. It was just, you know, sometimes you get a bag of crisps and it's like.
Just air.
It's just air. Well, that was him.
That was Shifty.
And he's keeping the crisps for himself.
Anyway, the reporter finds out about this and she goes, right, we're taking him to court if he's Shifty McCoy. So maybe that rings true. The Senators, the baseball team, prepare for their final game against the Yankees, but they worry about Joe because he's not there, I presume. Anyway, so he ends up in court, basically, the day before. So this is the 24th. So he has until 9 o'clock that night to decide if he's going to stay as Joe Hardy.
Right.
Is that right?
Joe Hardy? Ed Hart. No, he does.
Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
He's got until 9 o'clock that night, basically. So he's in court and then he's got a match that evening. Is it a match? A game? Baseball game? Yeah. Take me out to the ball game. No, it's game. Joe's day in court is on. Oh, it's nuts,
just
isn't it?
Turned into just words now. Game, match. Match game. The match game?
Super match game.
The super match game. The game. Match.com.
Joe's day in court is on September the 24th, the last day of his deal.
Right.
As he technically does not exist, he can't produce any kind of identification.
Wow. Yes.
Got him there.
Yeah, that's definitely.
This is like you beating the sock system. He's gone. You can't get me.
Exactly.
I've got two pairs of socks. So he has his, basically, he's in court, and then Applegate plays for time to stall him from meeting the 9 o'clock deadline. And then, basically, he ends up at the game. Applegate finally arrives. It's 8:55. He's at bat, and Applegate uses his powers to turn him back into his normal self.
Oh, no.
Anyway, what does he do? He hits a home run as his normal self, as Joe Boyd, the sort of boring fella.
Wow.
He wins them the pennant. The Senators win. Yeah. Brilliant. He rushes back to his wife's arms.
Sorry, at no point, like, I mean, I'm not really into sport. I watch the motorcycle racing, you know, I watch a bit of rallying and stuff on the telly. It's about where it stops for me.
Yeah.
You like the sport.
I'm very much into the sport.
You like the cricket.
Like the cricket, rugby, football.
Have you ever, just for the sake of argument, you're watching the cricket, the England cricket, right?
Yeah.
And they're all...
Andrew the Fred Flintoff.
For example, right? Say, Andrew, Freddie Flintoff, he's just about to... One eye's focusing on the bowler.
Yeah.
The other eye's thinking about future in musicals,
theatre, yeah.
He's lined up like that. Just at that moment... He turns into a completely different person.
Yeah.
But hits a ball and gets 100 runs. How, as a member of the crowd, would you go, oh, hang on?
I think you would. You'd raise a quizzical eyebrow at the very least. Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's not cricket because everyone's just eating cake. They don't really watch
it. Depends what time of the day it is. They've probably had a few glasses or something as well.
Has that ever happened? Has anyone turned into a completely different person?
Not that I can...
And continued the game without any sort of... I mean, it would certainly be a lovely trick question on a question of sport.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
Sue Barker just going, who's this mystery sportsman? You go, is it Andrew Flintoff? Well, actually not.
Because he's turned into somebody else.
It's Barry Knockins.
Barry Knockins, who's only ever faced one ball that won World Cup.
Turns out.
Which he hit for six.
And,
Barry Knockins.
He's knocking them about all day long. He's knocking them out of the stadium. And then, he turned at the last minute and it turned out Freddie Flintoff was only the sporting legend that he was because of...
Barry Knockins?
Because of... somebody Applegate who...
That's
because he did a deal with the devil.
Maybe he was. Anyway, so he winds up back with his wife. Applegate promises to make him young again and ensure a World Series victory. But basically he goes, nah, I'm going to stay here with my wife.
Oh?
Yeah.
Right.
So that's it. It's quite like Copacabana, I'm thinking.
It's very like it.
So what have we learned?
We've learned that basically if the devil says, basically just change your name, you can do what you want.
This has been Sir Oswald Whippersnapper Snipper.
And this has been Ross, biggest room in the world, Noble.
Thanks for listening.
If you would like, what have we got to do? We've got to like it.
We've got to like the podcast. We've got to subscribe to the podcast. And preferentially also, review it, Ross, on iTunes.
Stop, revive, survive.
It's the main three.
They're
exactly
the three. So yeah, go online, stop, revive, and surprise
yeah
somebody
yeah
with the podcast.
There you go.
Thanks.